The corner of a reflective grey wall stands against a cloudy sky. In relief on the wall, stage 6. A red globe on a black background. Captions in white. I am Global, a Reliance Entertainment company. Captions in white on a black background. Stage 6 Films presents, in association with I am Global and Automatic. An Oddfellows Entertainment production, in association with Magali Films and Panorama Films, produced with the participation of Telefilm Canada. HD camcorder footage from a busy party. A smiley, dark-haired young man with a stubbly beard films himself and a friend.
All right, I'm Cliff Rouse.
And I'm Derek Lee, and tomorrow we're going on a year-long trip around the world!
The friend Derek hails the party, then crouches down. A girl puts a golden helmet with a globe and camera on his head. He spins the globe and a caption appears. Derek Lee.
This is the trip that I've been waiting to do my entire life. Cliff and I, 6 continents, over 30 countries. We're gonna see the Eiffel Tower, the pyramids, the Great Wall. It's gonna be epic. My parents started me traveling when I was really, really young. And up until the day that I graduated, I pretty much spent every spare moment on the road. And then, I don't know, I got what I thought was a great opportunity in IT. Next thing I know, 5 years have gone by with me sitting behind a desk, and I'm thinking to myself, what the hell did I just do with my life?
Hey, buddy. Are you okay?
Cliff's been saved.
Hello, my name is Cliff Prowse. I am a filmmaker and documentarian. I have known the aforementioned Derek Lee since we were both pimple-faced teenagers, and I have basically forced him to be in every single one of my movies. Am I nervous? Hell yes, okay? I don't like planes, I don't like heights, I don't like the Ebola virus, I don't even like spicy food, but this is gonna make for some spectacular footage. We are going to film the entire thing. We are going to post it online as the world's greatest video travel blog ever. We're calling it Ends of the Earth. And we want this to be as interactive as possible. So you guys post suggestions, anything you want us to do, the craziest shit, I don't care. If you want us to go eat live crickets in Cambodia, we will do that. Derek will do that, and I will film him doing that.
Yeah! Everybody. There's a very important Chinese tradition, jade, is to ward off evil spirits. It can never be bought for yourself, it must be given by another. So Cliff.
Derek theatrically gets down on one knee and proffers the necklace.
Going away for an entire year, I'm going to need someone to watch my back. I need someone who has seen me puke my brains out. I need someone who's seen me at my absolute worst. I need someone who would take a bullet for me. That's Cliff.
I am so envious you guys are about to take off this awesome trip around the world. Most of us experiment in college, you guys take until now, but we're thrilled. We're thrilled you guys are finally taking this leap. To Cliff and Derek.
Cliff sits by his computer, which has an editing application on screen.
I think that Derek's decision to go on this trip is courageous. But there are some people who think it's a mistake.
Hey, man, how's it going?
Good. We're leaving, soon, very soon.
What does mom think? Did you talk to her?
I'm
a bit concerned because, if something goes wrong on the road, it's really hard to...
Look, if anything does happen, there's only really, like, a 4% chance of anything...
4% chance in some shitbox town on a long-distance bus is a hell of a lot different from falling on the floor in your kitchen where your roommates will pick you up, call the hospital and say, we have somebody who has AVM.
Derek's on the city dockside.
A few months ago, I started getting really bad headaches. I went to the doctors, they took an MRI, and they told me I have something called an arterial venous malformation, or AVM, which is basically like a tangle of screwed up blood vessels in my brain, which, if it ruptures, can cripple or kill me.
Look, Derek, I'm not gonna tell you not to go on your trip. If you develop severe headaches, weakness in your limbs, loss of the ability to write, it could be a sign that your AVM has ruptured, and it's really important that you seek medical attention right away.
I have to go, dude. So it's, she's not gonna understand. And she's never gonna understand. And she's my mom, so she's not supposed to. I get that, that's cool.
Whatever, dude. I don't think you have to, yeah.
Given everything he's dealing with, I think it's pretty incredible that Derek is going on this trip. He is a normal guy who got dealt a shitty hand, and in spite of that, he's not letting it stop him from doing the things that he loves. I'm going on this trip because I want to be there for Derek. And I'm documenting it because I want to share his story with everyone back home.
I don't know how much time I have, and I don't want to regret anything. I don't want to look back on my life and wish I had done something bigger or better. I just want to travel. And if I'm going to see the world, I kind of have to go right now.
A plane rises into the pale blue sky. At high altitude, the sky darkens. On board, the lights are low. Derek watches the in-flight TV with earphones in. The plane lands. At night, Derek smiles and waves in the back of a taxi. Barcelona, Spain. The sun rises on day one. In a hotel.
Okay, here we go. Cliff has entrusted me with B-cam here to get some establishing shots. That's really lame, so instead, you guys get to see what crazy looks like. Hello.
Hello, people. Come. Come see my studio.
What are you doing with all this gear? Are you insane? Oh.
This is where the magic begins. That is ends of the earth. That will be ends of the earth.
That's a lot of gear, dude. What exactly is this?
That is a strap-on.
A what?
Strap-on. Basically, I put that on. This thing clicks in. I can put the camera right here, which means I can shoot multi-cameras at the same time. One man, multi-camera shoot. Up to three cameras, in fact. It is, in fact, amazing.
This is gonna be awesome, by the way.
In the city.
What up? All right, we are here in beautiful Barcelona, Spain, in front of the Christopher Columbus statue, about to start our year-long trip around the world. Derek, can you explain to us, why are we starting here?
You mean other than that? Easy, rock stars.
Ada Van Breeman and Zach Gray are two friends of ours who are here on tour with their band on Alaska. We're gonna hang out with them here in Barcelona before joining them in Paris for their final show.
Oh, there he is.
How's it going?
Where is that mosquito?
I can't believe I'm here.
Has he been doing this for the last,
yeah,
how long you guys have been?
Yeah,
here?
Did you guys check in or not?
Yeah, no, this is just the camera here.
Are you kidding?
They walk.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Guys, we're here. Check it out.
The go-car.
The go-car.
Philip, I have to say, we're already having a hard enough time because we're naturally less cool than all Europeans. And now this.
It'll provide for some bonding time between the two of you, I
yes.
suppose.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, everyone.
Wait, why am I in this thing?
Why are you guys not more excited?
It's cool. It's sort
the
of
hell's...
I think you're going to pick up a lot of girls today riding this thing around town, especially at the beach.
Fine. No one else gets it, but I get it. And we're going to have a damn good time today. I don't really care what these guys say.
The go-car is a sort of squat orange moped with two seats and the talking tour car written on the side. Cliff straps on his multiple camera brace.
All right, B camera right here.
On the go-car.
Two cameras, baby. Two cameras.
They drive through the dazzling city.
This is the best city in the world. The only two factors that determine how good a time you have in a new city are the weather and the people. And I don't think we could ask for much more.
We've had an amazing 2 days. The footage is phenomenal. Probably the coolest thing is just seeing Derek looking so happy for the first time in a really long time. A weight has been lifted off his shoulders, and I can't wait for the next couple of days because things are gonna get even crazier.
Cliff does a tandem skydive.
Holy shit! Holy shit!
He films Derek landing.
It was way more scary than I thought it was gonna be.
Cliff high-fives Derek, then they hug. Floppy-haired Ado joins them. Day 7, Paris, France. The sun sets over the River Seine.
Okay, Derek. If we can find you a suitably drunk French girl with low enough standards, do you think you can take her home?
Let's take a quick poll.
I think that he's going to succeed in getting her where he wants to get her, but I think that she's going to have a horrible time.
I don't know, with that Canadian vibe, he's not going anywhere tonight.
Yeah.
Actually, with you guys at my wing, I'm pretty much screwed.
I'll be impressed if he just talks to a girl tonight.
Cliff will be filming, so that'll add a certain amount of pressure as well.
Yes, yeah. We have to get this on film.
No, I'm on your side.
This is important.
Can we not, let's not encourage this, okay? You gotta not be filming the whole night.
Actually, I have something for you. It's condoms. I think this is the lucky one. Actually, I'll give you all of them. They're all lucky ones.
Yeah, this is very optimistic of you.
They're French condoms, so they're probably the best in the world.
Ado and Zach are on stage at Bar Poppin.
Bonsoir, Mary. We're out in Alaska and we're gonna play some songs for you tonight.
Ado's on keyboards and Zach's on guitar.
I'm the brother that you never meet. I'm the anchor when you swim in the sea. Oh, a life sentence like a battery beast. And I only see the light when you smile with tea.
There are lots of attractive young women in the crowd. Derek loiters at the bar, nowhere near any of them. He looks a bit woozy. He heads out of the bar into the night air. Cliff's already out there with the camera. Derek looks sheepish.
No luck? No luck? Have you been telling them obnoxious travel stories?
Yep.
You need to lead with, I have a brain aneurysm. Okay, that might be a little bit too close though. Dude, there are tons of cute girls in there. We are gonna go find you one right now.
In the bar, Cliff sips a beer, then spots a stylish young woman with sandy hair nearby.
Too hot for Derek? Possibly.
Derek, I got one! Derek!
Oh. Hell has frozen over. Derek Lee has found a lady.
Cliff joins Derek, who's with a brunette. Spotting Cliff's camera, her smile fades.
Hi. Hi, I'm Cliff.
Buddy, back over the... Buddy.
Derek gives Cliff a friendly shove. Unalaska's set comes to an end. Through the crowd, Cliff spots Derek and the brunette locked in a passionate kiss.
Attaboy, Derek. I knew you could do it. And now I'm filming my friend making out.
Good stuff. So I'm supposed to act natural while you're like...
Act natural!
Just talk to Cliff.
We are leaving.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
You wanna come party with us?
Holy rockstar moment.
We're trying to figure out what we're doing with our hotel tonight because a friend went back there with a girl. So...
But that's fine. So you don't sleep and like party all night.
Okay.
I have to say congratulations for him doing it with a girl because I always congratulate my friends for that.
We don't know.
It's hard to
actually,
do.
We don't know if he's actually doing it.
Well, there's only really one way to
something.
Confirm.
We can find
there's
out.
There's only really one way to... Exactly.
What you're suggesting is... The Turkish cock block.
I believe that is what it's called.
I think we should elaborate on that point.
The Turkish cock block is not in the spirit of friendship, but it is something that friends do.
And it's hilarious.
And it's hilarious. So
and
maybe,
I think we really need to do it. Ado, confirmation.
Operation cock block is a go.
Cliff, Ado, and Zach loiter in the hotel corridor.
This is the hands down the shittiest thing I've ever done to a friend. We're gonna do it.
Awful.
Because oh. It's in the spirit of Paris.
Actually, right in the spirit of Paris, I like that.
Yeah.
Outside room 55.
Okay, can I just say, because we're filming this, that I'm against this completely because it's mean.
Yeah, okay. Well, you can go sleep.
Yeah, exactly. I'm into it.
Ado counts down. They barge in.
Go, go!
The light comes on. Derek's lying half naked with bleeding wounds.
Whoa, shit.
Derek?
Call an ambulance! Derek, wake up! Derek, are you okay? Shit, it's on his head.
Derek comes round and rubs his head. He stands in the bathroom and picks at an open wound at the top of his arm. There's tape above his left eye.
What the hell happened, man? What did Audrey do to you?
I don't know. I don't remember.
Her clothes are there.
She running around the city naked right now? I mean, she left all her clothes.
Look, I just said I don't remember, man. Like, she comes in, she...
She hits me in the head, everything goes hazy, and the next thing I know, you guys are rushing in, so...
He dabs at his cut eyebrow.
We shouldn't be taking you to the hospital, right? Like, given your condition?
Derek shakes his head.
No, I don't think so.
He scowls, studying his arm.
You're sure?
Yes, I'm sure. Like, look, this looks way worse than it is, all right? I just want to keep going.
Day 8 at the Gare du Nord.
Are you groggy? Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm okay.
It's too up.
All right,
you gotta
go.
Take care, dude.
Take care of this guy.
Yeah.
Right.
Take care of your wife.
Ado and Zach hug Derek and wave goodbye. Derek looks groggy as he lifts a bag onto his shoulder and heads for the train. Day. The train speeds through verdant countryside. On board, Cliff films himself, then looks out of the window. Derek dozes with his head on the window. He's wearing a beanie hat. There's some faded dark red bruising above and around his left eye. In Venazza, Italy, Derek still looks weary. In the old town, he leads the way up some stairs into an apartment where he flops onto the bed.
Hey, I guess that'll be your place.
Cliff sets the camera up overlooking the coastline. He posts the video online. A comment reads, I knew that girl was too hot for Derek. Hope you're feeling better.
Oh man, you're still asleep?
Cliff tickles Derek's ear and Derek winces. Night, Derek's still lying face down on his bed. Cliff drapes a hat on his head and tries to stick a French fry up his nose. Derek rolls away and Cliff grins at the camera. Cliff opens the shutters in Derek's room on day 10.
Get up. Come on, man, get up. This is ridiculous. You've been asleep forever. Come on, seriously, man. Come on.
How long have I been out?
A while. Way too long. Come on.
Okay.
Let's go. Contacts, clothing, emerging into the outer world where we can interact with other human beings.
Why are you so annoying?
We're supposed to be on this trip together. What the hell?
I am here.
Derek breaks into a grin.
Because I'm hungry.
Yes. Well, I know exactly the place we can go.
Good.
They arrive on a restaurant terrace overlooking the harbor.
This place is amazing, man. Look at this place.
They sit at a table by the railing.
A little sleepy boy here. Sleeping the days away and missing his Mediterranean paradise. Seriously, look at that.
I'm starving. What do you have?
Pesto.
Their food arrives.
All right, look at that.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Looks amazing.
Look at that. This food looks so good, man.
Derek grimaces.
Are you even listening to me right now?
Derek vomits up his food, then falls off his chair and vomits more heavily on the floor.
Derek! Oh! Derek, wait!
Derek staggers for the exit. He's in the apartment at his laptop.
Hey.
Cliff joins him.
Hey man, how are you feeling?
Better.
Look, I just think that with everything that's been going on with you, that we should go talk to somebody about this.
Cliff, I'm not going to the hospital. He's probably just food poisoning, so.
Derek, what are you talking about? What are you doing, man? You got hit in the head. This isn't something to fuck around with, man.
Cliff!
This...
If I go, okay, and they find something, they might not let me leave, okay? And I don't want to spend another second in a hospital. I feel fine. So, like, we're not stopping the trip.
Day 11, a cloudy sky. Colorful houses a few stories tall are huddled together on the mountainous coastline. Outside a cellar.
Look, are we doing this or not?
Yes, I'm rolling, okay? Go.
Okay, Cliff has arranged a tour with a local vintner named Bartolo here at his cantina.
It's KO Wines. Let's go.
Hello.
Oh, good morning.
Hi, I'm Derek.
Oh, nice to meet you. My name is Bartolo.
Bartolo.
This is our cellar. We have the largest cellar in town.
Really?
This doesn't mean so much because in Venezia the cellar are very tiny. Everybody has his own cellar.
So how do you feel about showing us the vineyard, the vines, we're going up on the mountain?
Okay, it's not so far. It's very easy.
Silverhead Bartolo drives Derek and Cliff on a rickety-looking petrol-powered monorail. They're heading up the mountain. On foot, Derek passes a pig pen.
We missed this cute pig. What are you...
This is Judita, my pig.
Look at her. He's very cute.
In this area, the main production is white grapes. Really, it's a little bit crazy because this environment, to me...
We gotta go down the mountain.
His skin red and bubbling, Derek hurries into a shed.
What do you need?
Water!
Okay. What the hell is going on? Here it is.
Cliff finds a bucket of water. Derek plunges his arms into it, then his face.
Are you okay? Oh! Are you okay?
Derek surfaces, his skin streaked with red.
What?
I don't know!
Jesus!
Derek gawps at his scarred arms.
Look! What the fuck is wrong with me?
He puffs his cheeks out, crouching on the floor of Bartolo's shed. Cliff sits in front of the camera in the apartment. He looks anxious.
I need you guys' help. Because seeing what I saw at the vineyard today with Derek and his skin, I don't think I've ever seen anyone in as much pain as I saw Derek today. And... you know, I know we talked about doing this thing for a year, but, like, I need to convince him to come home, and he's not going to listen to me. He's only going to listen.
Cliff hears something and looks to his left. He glances up with raised eyebrows.
I'm really sorry, but I'm worried about you.
He twitches nervously and blinks.
You're sick, and I don't think you're being honest with me or with yourself about this, okay? You're really sick.
Derek paces past Cliff into the next room, then wanders back. The reddening of his skin has faded slightly.
What happened at the vineyard was... and you're still not eating? And... I'm your friend. And I feel responsible for you. And I can't in good conscience just let you stay here and hurt yourself. We have to go home, okay? It's the right thing.
Yeah!
Jesus Christ.
Derek punched a hole in the wall.
Fuck.
Cliff grabs the camera. Fuck. Derek shakes his hand.
Are you okay?
I'm good.
You just broke the wall.
There's debris on the floor.
What is this wall made out of? It's like, just disintegrated.
Made out of rocks, man.
Did it hit you? Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm okay, but you just broke a rock wall. Like, look at this.
Derek snaps a rock in half.
It's like crumbly and dry and old and shitty.
Wait.
I need to go to anger management class.
Try this one.
A bigger chunk of rock.
What do you mean, try this one?
I want you to break this like you did the last one.
Frowning, Derek snaps it in half.
That is awesome.
At night, they're outside by the harbor.
All right, I'm rolling.
Derek stands over a 2-foot square rock and psychs himself up.
Just do it, man, just do it.
Derek clenches his fist.
Come on, man, you can do it.
He punches the rock, which breaks into neat pieces.
Holy shit!
Oh my god.
Oh. You just... Are you okay?
I will be.
Oh my.
Derek stands in front of a parked red car.
All right, I'm rolling.
Strength test, 1, 2.
No, it's 3.
3.
Oh, oh shit!
He lifts the car up, then bolts as the alarm goes off.
Holy crap!
Cliff finds Derek on some steps.
Holy cow! What is it like to be a superhero?
Oh my god, let's go like, fight some bad guys.
I don't know if you guys saw that or not back home, but that was absolutely unbelievable. I hope I got it on tape.
I think I just broke the sound barrier.
What's it like? You just lifted a car. Come on.
Derek shakes his head.
I don't know what's going on.
Night 12. Cliff sits on a motorbike. Derek waits on foot nearby.
All right. Are you ready?
Just go.
All right, here we go.
Cliff rides off along a tunnel, and Derek starts running just behind him.
Okay, the 20.
Cliff films the speedo, then looks back at Derek, who keeps pace. Derek signals Cliff to accelerate.
I'm at 40.
Derek runs right beside the motorbike, pumping his arms and gritting his teeth.
I am at 60 kilometers an hour.
Derek overtakes the motorbike and sprints out of the tunnel into the night. Cliff films the speedo as he slows the bike down, then brakes. He stops by Derek.
Oh! Holy shit!
Derek straightens, then holds out his hands with a shrug. They walk through the gloomy old town.
You were going 60K, which is like 40 miles an hour. How do you explain that?
I don't know.
Is there any way this could be related to your AVM? Derek, are you okay?
Oh, my contact.
What is it?
I don't know, man. Can you just turn that off? Just turn off your camera.
What?
Cliff, just look, I don't want to be a dick, but turn off your camera. Something's wrong with, like... Oh.
Are you okay?
Oh.
Cliff keeps filming as Derek pulls at his contact lens.
Oh,
the fuck?
He pulls out his eye.
What are you doing? Don't stop pulling! Derek!
Did I just blow my eye?
What the?
Did I just blow out my eye?
Oh.
It heals.
Oh my god, your eye! Oh, Jesus Christ!
What are you?
I don't know, I just saw it for a second, I mean...
Oh, the other one!
Derek doubles over.
Oh my god, are you okay?
Derek stares at his gunk-covered hands.
Shit.
At the apartment, Derek covers his left eye as he looks in the mirror. He uncovers it. The pupil nearly fills his whole eye.
Jesus Christ.
The pupil quickly shrinks. Scowling, Derek hangs his head.
What the hell is wrong with you?
Derek hurries off. With the lights off, Cliff appears to be filming Derek in secret. Derek sits at the table in the half-light. He scoffs food, shoveling something from a jar into his mouth. He unwraps a bar of some kind and wolfs it down. Derek pauses, covers his mouth, then doubles over, heaving. He vomits, then straightens. Cliff talks to Derek's brother, Jason, via webcam on his laptop.
He's ignoring my mom's emails, he's ignoring my emails.
Yes, so what do I do? If he's not listening to anybody, what the hell am I supposed to do?
Yeah, but you're the only guy who's physically able at this point to do anything about this. You know how it is. He's freaked out. He does not know what's going on. You need to be the one who gets him to somebody who can take a good look at him and understand what this is all about, because I certainly can't do it from here.
I'm just worried if we don't get him somewhere soon, it's going to be on the point where I can do anything about it.
Outside Derek's bedroom.
Derek, look, man, we need to talk.
Derek jumps down from the corner of the ceiling.
Derek?
Ah!
What the hell? That's not funny.
Yes, it was.
You need to go to a hospital.
No.
What do you mean, no?
I mean, no. I feel fine.
You are not fine. You are clearly
What do you
not
need
fine.
Me to do? You want me to prove it?
They're outside.
Are you rolling?
Yes, I've hit the record button. Okay. What the hell are we doing here?
I'm super strong, right? And super fast.
Derek's wearing the camera brace.
Jump desk number one.
What are you talking about?
Derek runs and leaps onto a flat portico at least 10 feet off the ground.
Holy shit! Derek, please, just come down.
I told you I was okay.
That's great, but you're being ridiculous, okay? Can you just please come down from there?
Oh, such a baby.
He jumps off the portico.
Okay, look, I'm fine, all right?
You're not fine, okay? Let's just go home.
No, we're not going home. We're not going anywhere. We're staying right here. Let's test. Come on, let's test.
Shit.
Derek scales a drain pipe.
Derek, what are you doing? Derek, you're freaking me out right now. Just stop, okay? Come down from there.
On the balcony, Derek looks out over the square.
Okay, Cliff, here it is. If I make this next jump, that proves that I am not sick.
What? No! This isn't gonna prove anything!
Derek leaps nearly 50 feet over Cliff's head. Derek. He lands, rolls over, then rises.
Proved it! Okay?
Derek buckles, then falls to the ground on his back.
You okay?
Derek has his eyes closed and takes short, gasping breaths. He swallows hard, still lying on his back.
Okay. Hospital.
They walk across a road.
Okay, we're here in downtown La Spezia. It's about 20 minutes from Vernazza. It's the closest place with a hospital. Derek, you okay?
A car approaches.
Okay, well, maybe the doctors can finally figure out what the hell's going on.
Oh, shit!
The car swerves to avoid him.
Jesus!
They won't cheat at this! Devo uccidersi per forza! Cosa fa?
Sorry!
Chiedimi scusa!
Don't touch me! Holy shit!
Two men got out of the car. As one of them confronted Cliff, Derek shoved the other. The other man flew backwards and smashed into the car. The first man kneels by his side, then gets up and confronts Derek, who lashes out. The man flies up and over the car's roof. Cliff crouches by the man slumped against the car.
He's still breathing. Let's get out of here!
He plays the video on his laptop.
No one was thinking. I uploaded the footage. And Mike posted this.
Under a comment, "That's disgusting," there's another comment. "Jesus, Derek, did you just lick your hand?" Cliff pauses the video as Derek bends double and licks his hand.
Shit. Derek?
Cliff waits outside Derek's bedroom door. Derek opens the door a little way and remains in the doorway. He looks weary and frowns.
Derek, I need you to explain to me exactly what happened on the way to the hospital.
Derek looks down.
Did you lick blood off your hand?
Derek rests his head against the door for a moment.
Okay, so, what are we saying about this?
In his bedroom, Derek covers the window pane with pages from a newspaper.
Look, I won't post it, but if this is what we think it is, then we have to document it, right?
Hand on forehead, Derek sits opposite Cliff, who studies his laptop.
It says here that you should have the ability to turn into mist, sometimes maybe even a bat. You have command over certain vermin, such as rats and wolves, and you are unable to enter into someone's homestead unless specifically invited. Which is, that's a weird one.
It's fucking useless.
I'm just trying to harness the power of the internet to help you with your vampire problem.
Derek raises his eyebrows and both of his middle fingers.
How do you think this happened?
Derek rubs his head.
Oh my God.
He scowls, then rolls up the left sleeve of his t-shirt. The wound on his shoulder has left a large, messy scar.
Audrey.
It's gotta be, right?
What are we gonna tell people about this?
Derek shakes his head.
I don't know.
I mean, we're going to have to tell them something, right?
Cliff! Blood! Where are we gonna get the blood?
He looks away despairingly. Night 14, blog offline. Derek sits at the table in the kitchen with his woolly hat on and his arms folded. Cliff arrives and sits down opposite. He puts a small jar of blood on the table.
Cow's blood.
Yeah, I went to the butcher.
With sweat beading on his cheeks, Derek picks up the jar and nods reasonably.
Okay.
He unscrews the lid, then drinks some of the blood straight from the jar. He puts the lid back on. Cliff films from across the table. Derek sits still for a while, then retches. He struggles to control his nausea, then hurriedly gets up. Cliff follows Derek to the toilet where he vomits into the bowl, leaving the white ceramic surround streaked and dotted with sticky-looking deep red blood.
Oh, fuck. That smelled awful.
He straightens.
I think I might need to be fresh.
In the old town, Derek leaves a supermarket with a small wrapped parcel.
What did you get?
Sausage, I think.
You know we're going to hell, right? Like, this is disgusting.
God.
They head along a pedestrian street.
You mean meat, right?
What? Yeah, I eat meat. Do you have a pet cow?
People don't sleep with cows in their beds and name them, and these dogs are owned by people. These are like members of their family. So.
They leave a gloomy alleyway and arrive back on the main drag, where shops are open, but people are few and far between. Derek spots a black Labrador dog standing with a cat by the open door of the supermarket. Derek loiters and fiddles with the meat parcel, then shakes his head and moves on. He stops outside a bar and peers through the window in the door. There's a small, fluffy white dog inside.
Are you serious? That's like the cutest dog I've ever seen in my life. That's when you're... There's no feral dogs around here. They all have owners.
Open-mouthed, Derek blinks thoughtfully, then hurries off. In darkness, he enters the pig pen they passed earlier.
God, I can't believe we're doing this. Derek, just promise me you'll make it as quick and painless as possible,
shut up.
Okay?
Derek advances and corners the little piglet, which scurries from side to side. He grabs it and picks it up.
Christ. Derek! Oh my God, oh my God.
Derek drops to his knees with his back to the camera, holding the piglet tightly. Derek's shoulders rise and fall, then his head lowers sharply. He tears at the animal's carcass. He hunches over, gnaws at the creature, then turns away and vomits blood. His face is covered in sticky-looking gore as he coughs up more deep red fluid onto the straw-covered ground. At the apartment, having cleaned his face up, Derek films himself. He wears an anxious frown.
Cliff is, Cliff isn't dealing well with what just happened. It has to be human blood. We've been through everything else. So, yeah, we're gonna have to do something very, very stupid.
Blood Bank, Santa Maria Hospital, La Spezia.
Okay, we're here outside the hospital in La Spezia. Derek has gone inside the blood bank to see if he can bribe an orderly or something.
Derek crashes outside.
Did you get it?
No, just run!
What the hell happened?
I didn't get it, okay? I mean, Jesus, I had to show them my ID, Cliff. They know who I am.
On a quiet road, Cliff stops and puts his bag down. Derek drops to his hands.
What are we gonna do? Listen
for what?
An ambulance approaches.
What are you doing?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Derek stands in the middle of the road and the ambulance hits him. He remains upright and opens the driver's door. He throws the driver onto the roadside and climbs in.
Get in the ambulance, Cliff! We just gotta get out of here!
What are we doing here?
Oh, shit!
Che cazzo sei? Non è Fabrizio!
Worst idea ever, Derek.
Blood. I need blood. Do you have any blood? I need blood. Do you have any blood?
She does not speak English, Derek.
Cliff, it's not working. Help me.
Cliff, help me. You're talking in English, you idiot. You're talking in English.
Vuoi acquistare del sangue, per favore?
Cosa?
Vuoi acquistare del sangue, per favore?
Ma sei serio?
God damn it.
What are we gonna do? I don't even know how to drive this thing. Derek, what are you doing? Derek, stop!
The paramedic's hands are covered in her patient's blood. Derek moves closer, then Cliff hits the brakes.
Just go.
They stumble outside.
Dave, I almost killed him.
Wait, no, just
I
go.
Almost killed.
Just go, cops are coming, go!
They stagger down a side street.
Go, go!
Derek approaches a wall beside some empty parking spaces and drops to the ground. He weakly grasps at thin air with his trembling hand. Cliff runs over and hunkers down with an anxious frown.
No, Cliff, listen! Promise me, if things get any worse, you will leave!
Come on, man, we have to go!
Cliff, promise me!
Here, promise, just come on!
Cliff hauls Derek to his feet. The camera light comes on, illuminating Cliff's room at the apartment. In bed, he sits up and finds that the room door is standing open. The rest of the apartment is dark. There's nobody else around.
Derek? Derek, is that you?
Cliff's hand wobbles nervously. He looks through the window on his left, then pans right. Pasty skinned, Derek's crouching naked by the bed. His jet black eyes shrink to tiny dots as the light hits them. Derek remains crouching.
Derek? Derek? Oh my god! Derek! Oh my god, oh my god!
Derek collapses and foams at the mouth. Cliff grabs a small piece of wood.
Derek, just wait on this.
Fitting, Derek bites it in half.
Shit! Derek!
Derek stops trembling. Cliff gently strokes his shaved head. Derek lies contorted on his bed. With the lights on, Cliff studies Derek's bare chest. Thin veins beneath his skin intermittently throb with dark blood as it courses through his body. Derek's eyes are closed and his mouth is open.
Derek has been unconscious for 11 hours. I can't take him to the hospital because the cops are going to be waiting for us. He's mostly unresponsive, except...
Cliff carefully holds his hand out. Derek's eyes flick open. They're entirely white. He follows Cliff's hand, his teeth chattering.
I think he can smell my blood.
Derek's head jerks round as Cliff removes his hand. Derek shuts his eyes and goes still. Cliff watches him ruefully.
The thing is, it's still Derek. I know there's a part of him that's still in there, and I'm not gonna leave him.
Night 17, Cliff runs through the apartment.
Derek?
Derek lurches through his doorway and lands like a beast on all fours. He hisses at Cliff and looks up.
Derek.
Derek struggles to hold himself up.
Get away from me.
Cliff puts the camera down on a nearby dresser. Clenching his fist, he stabs himself in the wrist with a sharp knife and squeezes the blood into an empty jam jar. He shakes as the thick red fluid pools in the glass jar. He clenches his fist ever tighter and continues to squeeze out blood. He carries the jar to the narrow corridor outside Derek's room.
Derek, I got it! Derek?
Derek is gone. Cliff goes into the bedroom and finds it empty. He spots the window standing open. Outside in the night air, Cliff hurries up an alleyway.
Derek?
There's nobody around. He scans down some steps.
Derek! Where the hell are you?
He searches the streets, then a quiet field.
Shit.
Cliff walks up a cobbled pathway towards a low wooden gate, which is closed. He looks over the gate and turns up the brightness of the light. He zooms the camera towards the nearby tree line.
Derek?
He scans around a seemingly abandoned and derelict stone building. There's junk strewn around the ruined walls. Through an open window, there's more junk amongst overgrown foliage, including a rusty gas bottle.
Shit. Someone in there?
A door stands ajar.
Derek?
Cliff pushes the door open and goes inside. The interior is a bit tidier, as if someone's been using it for storage.
Derek, is that you?
He steps through the semi-darkness. A tire iron swings slowly from a hook on the wall. He pans towards some high wooden shelves and spots Derek crouched amongst some dusty equipment.
Jesus!
Derek flinches from the light.
I brought you something. I know it's not much. Just take it. Take it!
Derek hunches like a panther, then pounces on Cliff, who reels and drops the camera, which has blood spattered across the lens. The camera lands facing Cliff, who tries to crawl away across the floor. Derek lands on top of him. Derek flips Cliff onto his back. Cliff struggles weakly and Derek punches him out cold. Derek straightens Cliff's head, then bows his own and takes a bite out of Cliff's neck. Blood flows across Cliff's face. Derek raises his head, still crouching over Cliff. Everything goes black. Derek switches the camera on. It's pointed directly at him as he sits back in a chair within the derelict building. He's bare-chested and the pallor of his skin is gone. He looks strong and his eyes are normal. His face is dirty and twisted into a grimace as he fights back sobs. His brows knitted, he stares balefully at the camera. He continues to tremble, then he takes a deep breath and his shoulders relax. Still frowning, he positions a shotgun so the barrel is pointed directly into his mouth. Staring at the camera, he pulls the trigger. The muzzle flash lights up his face and a cascade of blood splatters the stone wall behind him. He wobbles in his seat, then slumps forward. The wide, jagged exit wound in the back of his head is flecked with bright red gore. The blood drips down the wall behind him. Suddenly, he lurches upwards. Shaking, his eyes wide, he drops off the chair and the camera goes with him. Before he lurched back to life, the fragments of his skull seemed to creep back into place, their movement barely perceptible. Night 21, Derek sits down at the apartment. He seems undamaged and his face is clean of the blood and dirt from the derelict farm building. He looks weary, but calm.
Suicide.
He smiles ruefully.
It was pointless.
The back of his head has healed messily.
It didn't solve anything. Cliff, you sacrificed everything for me. And I will never forgive myself for what it did to you.
A flash of a makeshift grave made of rocks.
There has to be a way to fix me.
His nostrils flare and he looks up thoughtfully.
So I need to find Audrey. Everything starts with her. She has to have an answer, a cure, something.
His brow furrows and he grimaces as he speaks.
Do you hear me? Audrey? Why would you do this? Where? Why? You just can't do this to somebody. Just take off.
He composes himself, staring down the lens. His eyes widen.
I'm coming to Paris. And I'm gonna find you. And you are going to fix this. You're gonna fix this, or I'm gonna kill you.
He stares straight ahead. Day 22. Derek peers through the slats on the wooden shutter, looking out over the colorful houses by the coast. He films himself.
Cliff is gone.
He shuts his eyes and inhales.
How that's ever gonna be okay, I don't know. But I am going to honor his memory by keeping the cameras rolling, by documenting this in the hopes that somehow some good can come of this.
His eyes rove in thought.
It's what Cliff would have wanted.
He opens the window and reaches for the shutter.
We never officially tested this. Sun test number one.
He opens the shutter and puts his hand into direct sunlight. Quickly, his skin blisters and splits. He withdraws his hand and winces in pain.
Okay.
He sits down, frowning.
Audrey is in Paris. She has like a population of like 12 million or something. I just don't have a plan. Hello?
Mr. Derek Lee?
Yeah, who is it?
I'm from Interpol. Open the door.
Shit.
He puts the camera down and opens the door to a mustachioed man who shows him ID.
I'm Inspector Barbiero with Italian Interpol. Is Clifton Prowse here?
No, he's left.
Mr. Lee, we have video footage of you breaking into a hospital. Then you stole an ambulance and endangered lives. You have to come with me. The Canadian Embassy.
Derek throws the cop. Another one appears with a gun.
Oh, shit! Otto!
Derek grabs the camera and dives from the window, landing in the square. Another armed cop approaches and takes aim. Derek bolts through the square, then nips into a covered stairwell and sprints down a shadowy passageway that ends in an arch carved from the rough stone walls. He stops and turns around. He takes deep breaths, then holds his hands up in front of him. His skin is red raw and blistered. A cop appears at the far end of the passageway. A bullet hits Derek and blood spatters the wall. Derek charges off through the back streets. He vaults the wall as more bullets slam into him. He keeps running.
Stop it! Stop shooting me! Stop shooting me!
Flecked with blood, Derek arrives in a pedestrian street, startling passers-by. He runs towards a metal railing and pulls himself over it. He drops off the side of a small bridge and ducks into a shadowy slipway. He edges onto the stone wall where the slipway meets the water's edge. He hunkers down facing the mouth of the cave where the slipway enters the sea. In the gloom, he bunches up his red, raw, smoldering hands. Night 22. Derek walks down a narrow pathway between a wall and a fence.
I am somewhere east of Nice.
His face is reddened, peeling skin hangs off his cheeks and nose like cobwebs.
Good thing is my face stopped bleeding.
He smiles thinly.
Managed to get out of that place with just my clothes on my back and the camera bag. No wallet, nothing, which means Interpol has everything they need. So I better figure something out, because I'm starting to get hungry.
His eyes rove sideways. A dog scurries along the road nearby, and Derek tracks its progress. The skittish-looking animal picks up pace as it passes by. A train pulls into a large station. Derek jumps off the train onto the gravel by the tracks. He scans up and down the quiet station. Yellow streetlights reflect off the surface of a tree-lined river in the city. He's in a gloomy, derelict basement.
So I finally made it to Paris. And I managed to find this place as a shelter. It has water and power and everything I could possibly need. Except everyone back home is freaking out because Interpol has just issued warrants for our arrest. And now I need to find Audrey before they find me.
Sweating, he looks at the laptop.
I was going through the footage, and I was just looking for clues. I was looking for anything, and just something to help, and... Shit, you have to check this out.
Okay, here we go. Yeah.
That's it, that's her cell phone. That's Audrey's cell phone. It's at the hotel. I just have to go get it. Cliff, I've never been so grateful in my entire life that you shoot everything, you document everything.
The footage show Cliff going through Audrey's things.
Thanks.
Night 25, Derek heads along a street in Paris.
I'm really hoping that Audrey's stuff is still at the hotel. Okay, fingers crossed.
He enters the hotel and approaches the scowling receptionist.
Hi. Do you have, like, a lost and found?
He gets a cardboard box.
Je ne sais pas, hein. Je vous laisse jeter un coup d'œil là-dessus, si ce que vous cherchez se trouve là-dedans.
Okay, please.
Derek takes the small box and sifts through the various items, mostly clothes, inside. He finds Audrey's phone and puts the box back on the reception desk.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Okay.
Jason?
Derek?
What are you doing here?
Hey, man.
You can't be.
Please.
What?
Got the cops outside.
You can't be here. You can't be around me. Like, it's not safe.
Gotta come in.
No.
Please. We can sort this out together.
No, you can't be around me, man. Please. It's not safe.
Please.
Derek, can't be around me. No, please. Derek, stop.
Derek flees the hotel via the back door and runs into the street. Two police cars pull up either side of him.
Leave me alone!
Derek leaps halfway up the large building opposite. He clings to a drainpipe and looks down at the cops, then leaps again. He lands on the roof, startling a cop on lookout, who charges towards him.
Stop! Police!
Derek shoves him.
Oh, shit! Hold on!
The cop tips over the edge. Derek tries to hold on, but the cop falls.
No!
The cop slams into the ground far below. His colleagues open fire and Derek panics. He sprints along the rooftop and leaps onto a balcony on the apartment building across the road. Bullets ricochet around him. Alone in a vast church, Derek weeps.
I'm so sorry. It was an accident. I tried to save him. I really tried.
He shuts his eyes and shakes his head.
I'm not a murderer.
Squeezing his eyes closed again, he leans forward and holds his head in his hands. He straightens.
Jason. I just need more time. And then I promise I will come home.
Gray-faced, he looks at the ground, then switches off the camera. He starts it up again in the derelict basement. He leans on his knees and scans around.
I am not sure how much longer I'm gonna be able to hold out.
Shakily, he holds up Audrey's phone.
but I got her phone. So this is what's gonna happen. I'm gonna text all the numbers in this phone a message to come meet me.
He shrugs and looks at the phone.
Maybe I'll get lucky.
He crouches down in the middle of the gloomy basement where he's drawn things on the floor in chalk. He operates the phone, then lies on his back. He paces around nervously, then picks up the phone and bends double.
Call me, you bet! You know I have your phone! I've been posting a lot. I gave you my fucking email! You can contact me! I know you can, so just do it! Just do it!
He lies on a blanket on the floor. The phone is nearby. He jerks awake, then fits and trembles, foaming at the mouth. His head shakes and his arms are bent, held tightly by his sides. He rolls onto his side and stops shaking. He pants for breath. He's curled up in a fetal position on the blanket and lies completely still. He lifts his head. Night 27, still in the basement, Derek sits up looking groggy.
I finally got a text. And if this doesn't work, so screwed.
He shakes his head and smiles ruefully. Derek loiters in the shadows behind some metal railings at Sacré-Cœur. A stocky middle-aged man with a shaved head paces beyond the railings.
Putain, Audrey!
The man scans around by the railings.
Gosh.
The man gestures angrily.
Audrey, merde!
The man continues to scan around, then starts walking. He casts a couple of glances over his shoulder as he goes. Derek hurries after him, down a long flight of stone steps, then into a busy metro station. Derek sits on a train and looks along the carriage, which has seats either side and poles stretching from floor to ceiling. The man with the shaved head sits a few seats away. He's unaware of Derek, but scans around, frowning nervously. Above ground in the dead of night, Derek stands behind a thin wire fence and watches as the shaven-headed man passes through the shadows nearby. Derek enters a building which is covered in graffiti. He looks up an open and seemingly disused shaft. The stairs wind around the shaft, going up many stories. Derek spots the shaven-headed man walking up, then heads for the stairs himself. Every inch of the staircase wall has been scrawled on. Derek stops by a doorway at the top of the first flight. He glances at the strip lamp overhead, then proceeds through the doorway. In a narrow corridor, even more dense with overlapping graffiti, Derek opens a blue door. The corridor beyond has bare brick walls, and to the right is a softly lit living room, messy but homely, like a well-kept squat. He carries on down the corridor and pushes an ajar door. There's a single bed in the moodily lit room beyond. Derek goes inside. On a chest of drawers beside a framed photo of a young girl, he finds a handheld hacksaw with a blood-encrusted blade. Beside that, he finds an old-fashioned photo of a brunette woman.
Audrey. Mom!
The shaven-headed man rushes in and swings at Derek with a metal bar. Derek easily fights him off. The man is restrained in a chair in the living room. Derek sets up the camera facing him.
Okay, welcome to an Ends of the Earth live streaming event. Tonight, we have a very special guest in Maurice Behar.
He holds up the man's ID card.
Now, Maurice here is 56 years old, living right here in Paris, and he's a very unusual pastime. Now what the fuck are you doing with this, Maurice? It is covered in blood.
The hacksaw.
All right, Audrey, here it is. I have your fucking plaything. It's been about 2 weeks, so I tell you what, I'm gonna stay right here until either you show up or I can't hold out any longer. So where is she, Maurice? Where's Audrey? I know you know where she is. Look at-
Derek pulls the neck of Maurice's t-shirt aside and spots an old bite scar at the base of his neck.
Jesus.
50 years, and you are the first one she's termed.
What? What are you talking about? I mean, who are you?
You have to run now.
There are more scars on Maurice's stomach and chest.
What?
You have no time. She will come.
Good! Good! I want her to come!
Maurice looks up.
You know what? Just kill me. You're an ungrateful little shit.
I can't believe she gave this to you.
He stares at the camera lens.
T'entends, Audrey? C'est pas juste. Comment t'as pu me faire ça? Je t'ai donné...
The door crashes down, the room goes dark, flash grenades go off, it's pitch dark again.
Get off me! Get off me!
Derek's body camera light comes on. There are tactical cops in night vision gear in the room. They've knocked Maurice over. Derek's bashed, then battered by a cop, who he shoves across the room. Derek bolts under a hail of gunfire. He lands behind a sofa, then jumps up.
No!
Derek ducks, then barges another cop. He spots one about to fire. He's hit and blood spatters, more bullets land, and Derek teeters. The cop he pushed over fires a pistol, and Derek goes down. Derek lies facing Maurice, who's still on his back, tied to the chair. A balaclava-clad cop bends down and studies Derek. Maurice looks furious. The cop beside Derek stands up as another cop walks past. Maurice anxiously appeals to the cops.
Écoutez-moi, bordel!
Allez, c'est bon. Non, allez,
vite, c'est mort! Tu m'entends?
A cop looms over Maurice. Derek remains still, spattered with blood.
Et que personne se bat!
Sérieux, il va vous finir!
The cop beside Derek takes a step. Derek springs to life and grabs his leg. He drags the cop onto the floor and bites his neck. The other cop reacts and opens fire as Derek jumps to his feet and starts running. At breakneck speed, he launches himself off the wall, then straight at the firing cop. The cop hits the floor and Derek lands on top of him. He squeezes the cop's throat and blood gushes through Derek's fingers. As the wide-eyed cop quivers and dies, Derek drops a fistful of slimy, blood-soaked flesh onto the floor. Nearby, Maurice stares at Derek open-mouthed. Derek stalks across the room, leaning against the wall, then heading for the stairs. He stares over the banister. Torchlight hits the stairs and another tactical cop enters the stairwell. Derek reaches down and grabs him, then throws him up the stairs. He leaps onto the cop and grabs his submachine gun, then brutally batters the cop in the face with it. The blood-covered cop's head lolls. Derek gets up and goes to a nearby door. The room beyond is filthy, with buckets on the floor and streaks of blood on the walls. A plastic sheet hangs nearby with two meat hooks. Derek passes a mirror. His reflection shows his face smeared with blood and his jet-black pupils filling his saucer eyes. He spots a metal sink with sharp tools and congealed puddles of blood. Derek snaps to attention, hearing the radio chatter. As a cop edges the door open, Derek shoves him backwards. Bullets perforate the wall to his left. Derek crashes through the wall, disarms the firing cop, then knocks him out. He spots the first cop fleeing towards the living room. He dashes after him and knocks him onto his front. Derek pulls a short, sharp knife from a sheath on the prone cop's leg. He pulls the cop's balaclava-clad head up and cuts his throat with the knife. Blood spurts all over Maurice, who squirms about a foot away. Derek bites down into the cop's neck and feeds on his gushing blood. He lowers the body, still holding it in both hands, as Maurice shakes uncontrollably, still tied up awkwardly in the upended chair. His arms taut, Derek pushes down hard on the cop's back with the knife in hand. His knuckles are covered with thick blood. He pants for breath as Maurice continues to tremble. Derek slowly looks up at Maurice, who's wide-eyed.
Wait.
The camera light goes out and the room is plunged into blackness. Derek hurries into his dingy basement and anxiously turns the tap on to wash his hands. He grabs a bar of soap and scrubs furiously at his hands and forearms. He puts the soap down and rubs his face with both hands. He turns the tap off. He holds onto the pipe, which extends from the ceiling, then bows his head. He takes deep breaths, then steps back for a moment. He grabs the pipe again. He presses his head against the pipe, then pulls back and wipes his face. He stares at the ground. He slowly reaches for his pocket and takes out the phone. He studies the screen. Night 28, in a gloomy high-ceilinged chamber with square concrete supports, Derek backs away from a thin wire grill in the wall. He peers into it, then straightens and paces further into the chamber. He bends down and peers towards the grill again. He paces with his arms folded and looks up at the ceiling, then around the chamber. He sits with his back to the wall, facing the grill. Derek hears the noise and jumps up. While his back's turned, something dashes past the grill. Unaware, Derek continues to observe a shadowy alcove on the far wall. Something rushes up behind him. He spins as Audrey slams into him, smashing the wall. She looms over him and grabs him.
Don't come near me or Maurice ever again.
She looks shocked.
What? What are you looking at?
Audrey straightens, leaving Derek lying on the ground.
You're not fitting enough.
What the hell is that supposed to mean? Please! You have to help me!
Listen to me. You must eat. Your body will not let you starve.
Are you insane? I can't keep killing people! You have to be able to fix this! You have to have a cure!
A cure?
Yes! A cure!
This isn't a disease. There is no cure. You must kill!
He charges and she leaps high up the wall.
Fine! I'm gonna kill you!
He throws a breeze block. She smacks a wooden cable coil.
You don't get it! You can't kill me!
He leaps to avoid the coil and she flies up towards him. He batters her back down, then drops towards her. She punches him hard and he wheels through the air, landing in a heap. She launches herself towards him. She crashes into him and the lens on his body camera breaks. He painfully lifts himself up onto his elbow. Lithe Audrey crouches down a few feet away, then picks up a broken wooden plank, which ends in a sharp point.
Do it. Please. Kill me. Kill me!
She rams the stake-shaped plank into Derek's chest and he slumps onto his back. He twitches and jerks as she steps away. She slowly turns around to observe him. He lies still for a moment. Then suddenly, he thrashes around. Grabs at the plank with both hands. Audrey watches calmly as Derek struggles to pull the plank from his chest. He finally drags it free. Audrey approaches and leans over him.
Don't you think I would have cured myself if there was such a thing? Don't you think I would have ended my life if I could? You were a mistake. I would never create another.
She straightens and looks down at him.
gonna kill someone every 10 days. I can't.
10 days? Mais est-ce que tu t'es vu là? Your eyes are changing already. You need to be feeding every 4 to 5 days.
No. No.
If you do not choose to feed, you will become something worse. You will lose control. You will kill every day, every single day. And you will not stop.
Derek scans around desperately. Audrey crouches down with her fingers splayed.
You can't choose not to care. But you can choose who you care. It makes a difference.
She eyes him with a furrowed brow, then straightens. She turns and starts to walk away through the crumbling, gloomy chamber.
So why did you choose me?
You are dying. I thought I was being kind.
She continues through the chamber and leaves him. He bows his head and slumps, still lying in a heap on the floor. Night 37. In the dingy basement, pale and pasty skinned, Derek sets up the camera and looks into the lens. He looks weary and gaunt. He purses his lips, then blinks and cocks his head.
Mom, Dad, Jason, I know you haven't heard from me in a while. I needed time to figure this out. I hope seeing this helps you to understand what happened.
He looks down the lens, ruefully.
I just want you to know that I love you. And I am very sorry for everything that I've put you through.
His eyes rove and his pale lips tighten. He grinds his jaw and furrows his brow.
But look, if Audrey is right, and I can't die, then what I am and the things I have to do, you can't be around. It's not safe.
He drags a panel out of the wall.
I'm not the person you remember.
In a dark room, a man hangs from chains around his wrists.
Hello?
There's a bag on his head, and his white shirt is stained. Derek slowly paces towards the man.
Look, whoever you are, please, don't hurt me.
Derek removes the bag.
Look, please, let me go. I won't tell anyone. Please, why are you doing this?
Is this your phone? Is this your phone? That's what I thought.
What are you going to do?
I don't know. But I'm going to give you the same chance you gave that little girl.
Across the room, Derek touches something. The chains holding the man captive collapse and he hits the ground. With his hands still bound, the wild-eyed 30-something man gets to his feet and scans about. He's breathless, his mouth fixed in a petrified grimace. He stares into the gloom, panic-stricken. Teeth bared, Derek springs up behind him and attacks. Audio description by Alex Newman at Deluxe. In white letters that slowly turn red with clouds of blood, Afflicted. Written and directed by Cliff Prowse and Derek Lee. Produced by Chris Ferguson, Zach Lipofsky. Executive producers Jason Downswell, Stuart Ford, Brian Kavanagh-Jones, Zach Pashak. More credits appear as a young man turns his video camera on.
What are you doing with the camera?
Looking for the light.
He's with two young women.
Just simply on the internet.
So, what are we doing here?
We're going to make your first night in Italy a memorable one. Dai, Dina. Non è il costume. Neanch'io.
She slips through a gap in a padlock gate leading to a swimming pool. Then she takes her top off.
Come on, it'll be fun.
He helps brunette Dina through the gap.
All the lights are off.
Okay.
Nobody's home.
Where's Chiara?
What?
The outdoor swimming pool is empty. Dina scans around with an anxious frown.
Where is she?
What the fuck?
Chiara!
Dina, calm down.
Chiara!
Dina, we'll find her. Dina!
Something drags Dina through the brick wall behind her, smashing it to pieces. The young man runs, vaults over a wall, and lands amongst trees. He spots Chiara's mutilated body nearby.
Oh my God.
The young man scans with the camera, illuminating the surrounding trees. Something swoops overhead, and he looks up sharply. Something lands in front of him. Pale and naked with a wound on his head, Cliff lurches at the young man. We gotta get out of this place. Cast: Derek Lee, Cliff Prowse, Audrey, Bea Rahaz, Maurice, Benjamin Zaitoun, Zach Gray, Ado Van Bremen. Additional cast: Mike, Michael Gill, Jason Lee, Dr. Redicop, Dr. Gary Redicop, Derek's mom, Lily Pai Lee, Barcelona Girls, Danielle Hall, Danielle Gagnon, Kaylee Vanula, Claire Palo. Antonio Roberto L. Rodriguez, Jarrett Reed, Club Girl Ellen Ferguson, Waitress Chiara Cagliati, Restaurant Guests Domenico Di Michele, Susie Barrow, Lise Bertram, Agostino Roncalo, Julie Basso, Zhao Li Tan. Vintner Bartolo Licari, Paramedic Lucia DiPaci, Fabrizio Voice Marius Krakian, Ambulance Victim Andrew Ferguson, Inspector Barbiero Paolo Basso, Italian Inspectors Voices Andrea Rossolia, Andrea Rocchietti, Massimo Pareggio. Disgruntled Tourist Gregory Ung, Hotel Clerk Patrick Effiboli, French Police Officers Graham Fortin, Brian Kavanagh-Jones, Jesse Savath, Ernek Redder. Cop on Roof Stéphane Julien, French Police Officers Voices Yannick Matilly, Jean-Charles Moulier, French Tactical Officers Huerta Helgeson, Zach Mosley, Asterios Moutsokopoulos, Adrian Butenus, Jeremy Muir. French Tactical Officers Voices Emmanuel Hervé Pratt, Alexis Fradin de la Renadière, Andrew Levine. Pedophile Alexander Ferguson, Jeff Ian Hanlon, Chiara Doreen Gordon, Dina Camilla de Cesar, Jennifer Diaz Prowse, Lynn Horst. Dr. Antonioni, Pier Filippo Machiavelli, Homeless Man Paolo Torini, Junkie Ulysses Di Gregorio, Maria Tassia Teles, Receptionist Charlene Royer, Beast Double Mike Cochand. Somos Cantates by Buenas Costumbres, written and performed by Buenas Costumbres, courtesy of Buenas Costumbres. Skeleton by Unalaska, written and performed by Ado Van Bremen and Zach Gray, courtesy of Unalaska. LA by Unalaska, written and performed by Ado Van Bremen and Zach Gray, courtesy of Unalaska. Additional music by Jeff Timoshuk, musicians Jay Arna, Zach Gray, David Prowse, John Walsh. This motion picture is protected pursuant to the provisions of the laws of Canada, the United States of America, and other countries. Any unauthorized duplication, distribution, and/or exhibition of this motion picture may result in civil liability and criminal prosecution. Characters and incidents portrayed and the names herein are fictitious, and any similarity to the name, character, or history of any person is entirely coincidental and unintentional. Copyright 2013, Hemoglobin Pictures Limited.